The word says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, to think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We thank you for your word, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We hide
yes.
it in our hearts, Father. Jesus, that we might not sin against you.
Thank you.
We thank you for it, Father. We're here this morning to present ourselves a reasonable sacrifice, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we are holy and acceptable unto you because you are in us. You have made us what we need to be to come before the throne of mercy and obtain your grace. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that is in this room. Because you're in this room. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy that endures forever. We thank you for your wonderfulness, your graciousness. You alone are worthy to be praised. You deserve all the glory. You are our magnificent Savior. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We bow down before you and call you wonderful and truth. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, our Lord, our God. We extol you this day. We extol you. You are high and lifted up, and your glory fills this house. Your glory, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all for you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We thank you for your goodness, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have set our feet on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. You keep our feet from falling, Jesus. You keep us steady. You keep us steady, Lord. We are steadfast. We are grounded and rooted in you. We are grounded and rooted in you and your love, Jesus. We love you. We live to serve you. We live to know you. We live just to know you, Jesus. Let your light so shine, Jesus. Let your love shine in this place, Lord, as we worship you. Mold us and make us into your image, Jesus. Come and dwell in this presence, Jesus. You dwell in the praises of your people, Jesus. Come and dwell with us. Dwell with us, in us, and through us, Jesus. It's all for your glory. We're here for you, Jesus. We're here for you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We love you. We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's just open up with a few prayers. Gay, would you come and begin to open up? Maria, you can come up and stand in the green room here and get ready for the next prayer. Just, I think it's on, I'm not sure. Yeah,
hallelujah.
Let's just worship God.
We worship you, Lord. We glorify you. We love you, Father.
Yes.
We thank you, Holy Ghost, that you come and you visit us during these services, Lord. We sanctify this time. We set it apart.
Yes, we do.
We sanctify our hearts, Lord, and the thoughts of our mind. Let the meditations of our hearts and our thoughts, Lord.
Yes.
Let them be pleasing unto you, Father.
Yes.
We set our affections on you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We set our thoughts on you, Father.
Hallelujah.
For we have been bought with a price and our life is not our own.
Yes.
We set ourselves apart. We are not here to think about the day or the week.
Jesus.
We're here to set our heart on you, Lord.
Yes. All on you, Jesus.
We sanctify our thoughts. We set them apart.
Hallelujah.
And we love you, Lord.
Yes.
We love you, Lord.
Yes, we do.
We call the city saved in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We call the city sanctified, set apart for your kingdom
Jesus.
Purposes, Father. Oh, for you have come,
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus. You are the Lord of the church, the Lord of this body.
Yes.
And we call this body unified.
Yes.
It walks in unity before you,
Jesus.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because of His shed blood, Lord, we walk in forgiveness one toward another.
Finish work.
We walk in love one toward another. We love our brother, Lord, as ourselves.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, the world will know us because of our love one toward another. We are
Hallelujah.
Just like you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to beg you any longer, Father.
Yes.
You have made us just like our Lord.
Yes.
And we bless you. We are alive
Hallelujah.
On the inside.
Hallelujah.
Our DNA is of our Lord
yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Of the second Adam.
Yes.
And we have taken dominion of
Manda
this area.
Yes.
We have taken dominion over the strong man over this city.
Yes.
And now you, Lord,
Jesus.
Are Lord over this city.
Yes.
By the word of our testimony.
Yes.
We have overcome.
Yes.
We are overcomers in this life,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Because of you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Because of you, Lord, and your finished work.
Yes.
Because of your obedience, Lord. We too are
Hallelujah.
Obedient to your word, Lord. We are obedient just
yes.
like you, Jesus.
Yes.
We hear the voice of our Master.
Glory.
And others we do not follow.
Yes, Lord.
We hear you, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And by the words of our mouth, we sanctify this city.
Yes.
We call it set apart.
Jesus.
Set apart for you, Father.
Yes.
A light on a hill for others
yes.
to see.
Yes.
Oh, and that they come, Lord, to the city limits and they fall to their knees and say, what must I do
yes,
to be
Jesus.
Born again?
Yes, Jesus.
I need you, Lord. I
yes,
need your
Jesus.
Power. I need your healing anointing in my life. I need your life in me.
Yes.
We bless you, Lord.
Bless you.
We worship you. Oh, we bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
Yes.
We come today to set our eyes on you, Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we ask you to come with that wisdom, that
yes.
spirit of wisdom or revelation, Lord.
Yes.
And knowing Jesus, Lord. Father, just that revelation of his beauty, Lord, that we can set our eyes on him, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
We want to see you.
Yes.
Your church wants to see you.
Yes.
Your church wants to see you.
Yes.
Set our eyes on that prize.
Yes,
you are
Jesus.
A prize, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You, Jesus. We say yes to you.
Yes.
We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, Jesus. Anything you want, Jesus. We say yes to you, Jesus. For you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus.
Yes.
You are worthy, Jesus.
You alone, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You alone, Jesus.
Father, we ask for your word to go swiftly today.
Yes.
Through this church, Lord, and through the city of Immokalee, Lord.
Yes.
As every pastor, Lord, as every church service is going on, Lord, that your word would run swiftly through this town, Lord.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, come, Lord, in every service, Lord, for every person that has woken up this morning, Lord, to attend service, to attend a worship in this town, Lord, that they would encounter you, Jesus.
Yes.
Father, you've said you just need a little pinhole, Lord.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Yes.
Just a little weak yes, Lord.
Yes.
Father, make yourself known to this, to the people of Immokalee, Lord. Mm. Let your word go and cut into those hard places, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Chat into those dark places, Lord. Oh, Father.
Jesus, yes.
Your word, Lord.
Yes.
Can cut through that, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
So faithful, Lord. So faithful.
Your image. Your image.
We worship you, Jesus.
Yes.
We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
One mind, Lord.
One mind.
One heart, Lord.
One heart.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
To worship you, Lord. To worship you, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus.
Jesus.
You are worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name we ask, Jesus.
Yes.
In your precious name we ask.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You to know, says the Lord, that each and every one of you have come up into a place of maturity. You've come to a place of closeness with me, which I'm very pleased with. And I also want you to know, says the Lord, that to replace you at this time would be of quite a cost. For it is about the time. See, it's about the time. And to replace you, each or any one of you at this time, would cost time. And time is of the essence, you see. For this, we are in the last hour. But we must co-labor together. You must continue to yield yourself to me. For I am your God, and I am your trust. I am your love. I am your friend. I am everything to you. And as you continue to come closer towards me, you will realize that you must abandon everything for me. And as you abandon, I'll be able to move and live, and you'll be able to move and breathe and have your being in me much more closer. So it's about, not so much about you, for you are mine, but it's about the ones that I'm after. It is about the ones that we're after. See, not only am I after him, but you're after him now too. See, because you've come to a place in the spirit with me now where you've abandoned a lot of the things of the flesh. But I want you to know something about your enemy. He's very, very subtle in his ways. And he knows how to come and move and be so subtle that you don't recognize. But what happens is it steals your time from me. It steals your time. So please be obedient to this instruction. Because as you yield yourself to me in these days ahead, I'm always there. So it's not like you come to me and I come to you. No, no.
You come to me. I am always there. So you come to me and I'm always there. It's not you come to me and I come to you. I'm always there. So come to me. Come to me. For I have already come in this world. And I'm coming much stronger in the days ahead. So as you come to me, I am already there. And as you yield yourself to me, the great outpouring shall take place. And it's on the horizon. It's on the horizon. So be aware of the subtleness of the enemy and the subtleness of the flesh. They go hand in hand. And it's very subtle. You don't recognize it. It's like, well, I'll do this later. I'll do this later. For the outpouring to truly take place, you must continue to yield and abandon yourself. Abandon everything. And abandon yourself. And I'm not asking for much time, but I am asking for more time. So as you abandon, and you'll be able to hear my voice, and you'll be able to hear the instruction very, very clearly. For that is what it's going to take. It's very clear instruction and very clear hearing. And the only way to do that is the closeness that you can have with me and come to me. So come to me and continue to come to me and continue to come to me. For the great outpouring is at hand, and then shall be my return.
Yes. Your word, Lord, we receive.
Yes, Jesus.
We receive your word.
Yes, Lord.
We receive it in our hearts.
We draw nigh to you,
Lord. Oh, we love you.
We dwell in the midst of you, Jesus. We dwell in the secret place, the Most High. We dwell with you, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way in our lives, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We accept that as a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And these prophetic prayers we receive over this house and over this city, we give you all the glory. Still here and will be here to the end of this. So let's just continue. Don't move out of His presence. Just continue. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We love you.
All the glory. Magnify you, Jesus. I give you all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. Praise and magnify you as the Lord of the church. Not just this church, but your church that is in heaven and your church that is on earth, Lord. Spirits of righteous men made perfect. Father, we love you and praise you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We say, along with the precious Holy Ghost, come, Lord Jesus. We bid you come. Come and set up your kingdom. Receive for yourself a manifest harvest in the earth. Let the sheaves, Lord, that are ripe in the field now bow their heads. Lord, let us put in the sickle now and begin to bring forth the harvest. Let life penetrate the darkness. Lord, let that which is given to us by reason of our inheritance to go forth. Lord, no fear. No fear. But peace and power in the midst of all opposition, in the midst of all darkness in the coming days. We thank you and praise you that the Lord of the church, the high priest that has risen, the one that has offered his blood. Father, I thank you that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And in the coming days during the harvest and everything that you will do, and everything that the enemy will pour out against the church, I thank you, Father, that we have already been made safe through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for this great harvest. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for this great harvest. Hallelujah. those prophetic prayers that were prayed and asking Him to do whatever He wanted to do. I believe He's doing it. How many of you know He's got an agenda? There was one part of one of those prayers that He wants every church in Immokalee just thriving with His glory. Well, that prophecy said that we're in that final hour. I believe it. We're in some kind of fat man squeeze. Parts of us are dying. But we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. So part of us is being squeezed. And yet life is wanting to emanate itself and say, come, Lord Jesus. Well, He's going to. And He gave you that loving exhortation to say, you can't be replaced. The maturity that's come inside of you to this point in time, don't let it go to waste. Don't be sidetracked in the final hour. But He said, strong meat, Hebrews 5:14. That the strong meat belongs to them, those prior to verse 13, He said, milk, those who are only exercised or only use of milk, He said, they're not. They're not the ones that are producing. But He said, strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age. In other words, they've grown up inside of Christ. How'd they get there? By reason, He said, of the exercise of their senses. And He wasn't talking about spiritual senses. That word there goes right back to psuche, soul. He was talking about that you deliberately exercise them off of you and out of you through the power of God's Word and through the power of worship and spirit and truth and everything that you learned and gleaned by soundness of truth. By that you exercised your senses so that, He said, who is able to discern both good and evil. Well, Pastor, anybody can discern good and bad. Why do you think the Holy Spirit warned, take heed? Take heed. Take heed. Don't let the enemy steal your time through things that appear to be good. Don't let the enemy steal any part of your life. Don't let him steal some part of the truth that he's instilled in you by someone that sounds to be really teaching something that's good. Now, Jesus said this. I can't improve on it. He said, in the last days, they ask Him, and you study, go to any one of, I think, three of the four Gospels. He says it, at least two. They said, what would be the sign of your coming? Can you tell us what the last day, the final hour will be? He said, yeah, I can. Well, give us the top one. He always started out, the top one of His coming was, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. What does that mean? Just what it means. That the number one sign of my coming was many, He said, would be deceived. Well, He wasn't talking about the world being deceived, because the world's already deceived. He was talking about a group of people that called themselves the church. They were deceived, or they could be deceived. There was a spirit in the last days. The apostle said that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about the world deceiving you, or the world coming across with something. It had to be something that you'd listen to. It had to be something that just caught your attention. You said, wow, that looks like a nugget of truth. But then again, He said, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. They've come. The Holy Spirit was saying, I've sown some age in you. I want you to grow up. And you have grown up. Exercise your senses. Well, Is it important? Oh, yeah. Because James said this. He said, he really hit below the belt. He said, concerning the tongue, he said, every beast. He said, man's tamed everything. Beast, lions, roar. You can get them to jump through a hoop. He said, birds, you can get, Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? Yes. He said, they've tamed that. He said, even serpents have been tamed. Ooh, you can blow a little whistle and or a little flute and a serpent will come out of a box. He said, even the creatures of the sea. You can go to the Sea World and you can see Flipper do flips. But he said, the tongue has no man been able to tame. He said, an unruly evil, and he wasn't talking about you. And know how to use the exercise of their senses. He said, with the tongue, men will glorify, worship the Father, and then turn and curse the brethren, who is made in the similitude of their Father. He said, can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? He goes on to basically say it can't, but it does. He said, can a fig tree bear olives? No, because it's a fig tree. Well, can a vine bear figs? No. No. He said, in the same way, neither can a well spring salt and fresh. Well, listen, I was talking to somebody the other day. We had a good conversation, a spiritual one. He said, I never saw that, basically. I said, oh, I know. I know you never saw that about them. You know why? Because they didn't change. They didn't change. You changed. You're the one that changed. You kept going higher and higher in who you know Him to be, and something changed inside of you. Now you're able to see them for the level of love that they walk in. Many years ago, I got a letter from somebody that was straightening me out. It's one of them ones that, I mean, I had a really high esteem for this person. Looked to him up. I got the letter and I was reading it. It's one of those ones where, you know, the lump comes in your throat. And your heart, you didn't just have a monster or a red bull, but your heart starts. It's like caffeine. You can kind of feel it. They were telling me where I was missing it at a lot. So I'd put it down and I've got a block around my house. And through the years, I've learned walking's good. It kind of gets the, you can get all of it out. Well, I'm not saying I've suffered any more different challenges than you. This is, I'm just telling my personal. You've had the same things. Normally, about one block through the years, anybody, because it's all, especially with a preacher, it's got to be a relationship thing where somebody will come, go, or this and that, the other. But usually about one block will get it all done. I'll be able to get it under the blood. If there's any, the palpitations, the heart settles back down. And I just, okay, Father, I choose to walk in love. This one was a pretty good one. It probably took two blocker. It was about a two blocker. By the time I got around the second block, I was fine. Got instruction. Wrote him a beautiful letter and said, I want to thank you. I meant it. Thank you for loving me enough to tell me what you believe, where I'm missing it at. Thank you for loving me that much. Later on, I didn't call anybody. I didn't feel to. I was visiting Pastor Dave in another state, and we were talking, and not sharing with him. It just felt like it was the right time, and how certain things happen, and why. When you're looking up to somebody and you thought a certain level of love, he said, "Bront, listen. They didn't change. You changed. They were always like that while you believed they were something else. But then when you went to a higher place in His love, and like the prophecy saying, I've groomed you to walk in. I've groomed you. I can't replace you." He said, "All you did is you begin to see them in the light that where they're at." James said, "Can you dip one moment and drink? Oh, that's good, Dazani. And then the next, oh, that's bitter." No, what he's saying is, even when it appears, this isn't just about people. It's anything that the enemy can present to you in the last days to be something that will divert you. Even when it appears to be something good, watch out. Watch out. Because if there is bitterness in there, it will belch. And when it belches, all the sweet goes away. And you say, "Oh my." You, what? What? Discerning. Mama, we're getting hitched. Really? Yeah. Look at him. Isn't he good looking? 6'2". 30-inch waist, broad at the shoulders. And Mama, when we go to the beach, he don't have a six-pack. That boy, he got an 8-pack. He looks good. I know, honey, but you know, I don't believe he'll work. If you ever have kids, I don't believe he'll support them. Mama, nah, Daddy, you can't see it. He looked good. In fact, I believe the Holy Ghost gave me a song, Mama. Mama, he's crazy. Crazy over me. But I'm telling you, he's 21 years old. I don't think he's ever had a summer job. And Daddy keeps asking, I can hook you up down here. He just changes the subject. Mama, God will work on him. Yeah. Really? Whoosh. 10 years later, Mom and Dad show up at the house. They have picked their way through the grass. It's 4 foot high. Daughter is sitting with a passel of babies. 4 or 5 on the porch. 2 in diapers. She's sitting in a rocking chair. Again, she's going to hatch. They want to stop by and see the grandkids. Here he comes to the door. The 8-pack is going away now. He's in one of them, why do they call them wife beater shirt? "Oh, Mom and Dad, watch yourself coming up the steps. I'm going to fix those one day. I'm going to fix them. Honey, y'all come on in. Honey, would you check the mailbox to see if the government sent the check? And by the way, when you come in, my satellite's messed up and I need you to bring me a cold one again from the refrigerator." Now she's singing another song. "Mama, he's lazy. Lazy over me. And on my couch is where he says he always wants to be." What changed? Nothing. She couldn't see it. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. He's asking us to stand up in an hour when Jesus said, "Look, there's going to be many things. They're going to come in my name. And you're going to watch them and you say, ooh, that's a message I like. It's got a tingle to it. It's got a feel to it." I had one of those dreams last night. I had no idea that Rex was going to prophesy this. I was sitting at a conference. It wasn't Pastor Dave's. It wasn't this one. I don't know where it was at, really. I remember we could drive down like a street, and it was always, I went there a couple times, and it was always, in my dream, it was always on the right. It was like in a big storefront. There was a lot of people there. I mean, hundreds were gathered. And I don't know who all the speakers were. I remember Dave was there and he was speaking. But he wasn't like, it wasn't his conference. This guy came in and he was from another country. And I'd never seen him, and I don't know who he is. It's not even a figure like a personality that I know. And he was the rage. And he really hadn't done anything, but he was talking about stuff, and he was talking about results that he was getting where he was from. And I mean, people were like, whew, they were just taken up with him. Well, that didn't bother me. But here, I remember all that chatter about who he was and what he was, you know, what he had brought, the report and everything. Then I'm sitting in a restaurant. And I'm sitting in a booth. And there's two people. There's one guy, I don't know who it was. I couldn't see the figure. It must have been Candy with me. But I'm sitting in a booth. It's one that'll sit three people per side. So I was sitting in the middle. I think somebody was sitting here and here. And then I don't know who was directly across in front of me. But Pastor Dave was to my left like this. And there was a lady sitting there. And well, she was a lady going to the conference, and I don't know who she was. Stranger, I never seen her. But she was enjoying the conference. And she's enjoying the conference. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden she just asked me this question. She said, "Are you going to have this man at your church?" See, I did not go to sleep last night thinking about Pastor Dave, about a conference, or about any of this stuff that I'm talking to you about right now. She said, "Are you going to have this man at your church?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, what my intention was I was going to point to Pastor Dave and say, look, I have him in and other people because I've proven their ministry and I've got to know them." And I started to tell her, first of all, I said, "Now, what is this guy's name again?" That unleashed it right there. She blew up. She blew up, and I was trying to tell her, you know, I got to prove kind of this. She began to go into a tirade. I remember it seemed like a napkin went in the air, but I couldn't even finish. And then what she began to, she was mad. Two reasons why I remember she said that. One, I knew in the dream she said, you're basically making Dave Roberson a god. But the main thing that she was mad about is that she was accusing me of not being spiritual enough just to accept it without ever going into it. And I was like, and then I woke up. Now, a religious spirit, now understand this. If you ever come into contact with a religious spirit, it will accuse you of not being spiritual enough to just accept it, what you see, and take it like it is. And I'm not talking about when you look at something where you're like antagonistic from the get-go. I'm talking about where you got an open heart and say, "Jesus, let me see, so I'm believing, let me receive." But a religious spirit will tell you, it'll act and it'll tell you, you're quenching God's flow. You're quenching what God wants. Your desire for discernment, your desire for soundness of truth or doctrine is a quenching of God's Spirit. And that lady just went off on me, and I was like, "Oh, okay, ma'am." And then I woke up. Why would Jesus say, "In the last days, many will come in my name"? Well, the enemy's got a plan. But God's got a plan. Listen, You can't pray in tongues very long that God won't open you up to everything that He's doing on planet Earth. One of those prophetic prayers this morning, I knew it was all God. One said, Lord, not just this place, basically, that's what I was hearing, all over this city. But you got to understand something. Not every well that you drink from that's sweet. Know, He said, those who labor among you. Understand who you're receiving from. Oh, I like this doctrine, Pastor. I love it. Boy, what else do they teach? Is there any bitterness in there? Is there anything that what you're drinking from? Because if you keep drinking, after a while, you'll start accepting the bitter after a while. Man, I'm open to anything. But don't ever ask me to drop my spiritual discerner. Because it's just as much part of my DNA as my acceptance of everything else that is truth in the earth. I believe we're headed towards an outpouring, don't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's going to be good. If you have any major conferences that you need taught, Alex, would you come here, please? He's blushing. He looks good blushing. How can you tell when a black guy's blushing? Man, this man's coming along with Renee. We're proud of him. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you're one of those preachers with 5,000 people in your church and you're trying to figure out who to have for your next conference, Alex is his name. Just remember, that's a prophetic word, Alex. Hallelujah. He's been getting people filled with the Spirit over the phone. Hallelujah. And then they've been getting, you know, how redundant your ministry is will tell something about how far the anointing can flow down. And so he's been getting people filled, and those people have been getting people filled. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We even let bikers come in here. Isn't that great? Everybody remember, next week, Gary Carpenter will be here. Okay? This coming Sunday, Mother's Day. It's not going to be hard. So we're celebrating Mother's Day with Gary Carpenter and Sue. And they'll be with us through Thursday. And we're just going to have a great, great time. I would encourage you to make every effort possible to be here. It's just going to be great. It's really going to be great. It's going to take your and my level of understanding to another. I've heard some of it. I bet he's going to have more. But wonderful time in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We've had a nature change. And understanding that nature change is, it's everything. It really is everything. You know, if you don't know who you are, you can't live into, you can't progress in. You've become something from the get-go. You've received a DNA, a nature, that Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. As long as the enemy can ever cripple you by believing that you have to do what he says that you have to do, then you'll follow that. It's just like even believing things like the fruit of salvation. The fruit of salvation being, you know, the root of salvation is you got a new nature, you're going to heaven. That's it. But everything else is encompassing in that. I mean, it's just as much a part of it. Your deliverance, your prosperity, your physical, it's all part of that. It's just as much a part of that. But the foundation, I mean, the main thing he wanted was he wanted children. And he wanted you to live forever. And he wanted you to have a nature back again that was lost, just like his. Now, if you don't understand that, and I this is a good time to do a good advertisement. I can tell you what you're going to hear for the next week, a unless the Holy Spirit changes it, because I've heard some of it, it is some really powerful, powerful stuff. And some of it I have never heard before in my life. But it will all the more convince you. You say, well, I believe I... Listen, let's take for example just for a moment. I was talking to a man that you wouldn't really hardly know, that you couldn't put two and two together. Doesn't go here. Born again, loves God. He's going to heaven. That's the greatest thing. I was talking to him about something that happened to him in his recent past where, I mean, it was clearly Satan tried to kill him. And I said, my God, thank God. God had other plans. The devil's a liar and Satan comes. I didn't quote all the scripture. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's part of who I am. That's part of the encasement of what I believe about who God is. He was not demeaning. He just corrected me basically and said, well, you know, God may have had plans in that. God may, and I mean, this could have really, really taken his life. And he said, God may have been part of that or done that to direct my life. Well, I didn't try to correct him because what he's being taught, you'd actually have to come out of that. You'd have to, you really literally, if somebody comes anymore, I never say, why don't you come over here? But if somebody comes and says, what do I do? You know, I think I'm seeing something else about God. You're speaking a lie if you don't tell them, look, you're never going to progress as long as you're sitting under that Sunday after Sunday. So what he was repeating was what he was being taught, that God will almost kill me at times to redirect my life. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean God loves him any less? Absolutely not. Does that mean that he loves God less? No. It means something inside of him, of his image of who God is, has been taught to him, and it becomes part of his spirit. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, cleansing yourself, therefore, he said, by the promises of God, from all filthiness of soul, flesh, spirit. He even put the word pneuma in there. Because a lot of times people say, they believe it in their minds, but they don't believe it in their spirit. No, see, your spirit can be the righteousness of God in Christ, but it can have junk inside of it of what you believe. Does the person that doesn't pray in tongues, do they believe in their spirit that it's not God's will? Yeah. They believe that. Do they believe that God will teach them a lesson by giving them sickness to kind of... See, they believe that because somebody taught them that. Now, they can love God and go to heaven. Well, what does that matter? Well, I can tell you what it matters. It matters a whole lot. It is virtually impossible. Well, you say, well, he can do it by his sovereignty. No, he can't. He cannot transgress will. It's virtually impossible for someone like that to receive a outpouring of manifestation of his glory, like be a catalyst for that, to believe that it's always God's will. See, you've got to believe that it's always, 100% of the time, even when you didn't see it happen, always his will to heal and to deliver, and that he doesn't monkey around with any of that other stuff. Jesus in John 10 said, look, I'm drawing a big line in the sand here. The thief, that booger over there, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. For 4,000 years, everybody's been saying, God did this to teach me a lesson. God ain't, I'm going to use the word ain't, he ain't done that, bro. He don't teach, the lesson he taught was stretched between heaven and earth, and his blood was shed, and delivers all men from sin, sickness, disease, poverty, abnormalities, dimension from demented places. He set us free from that. But the guy that believes that, do you think God's saying, naughty, naughty, I don't like you? No. God grieves for him. Why? Because here's the deal. Here's the jeopardy a person like that runs into, or anybody in general. You got a sick child, you rush him to the hospital. Now, the doctor comes out and says, they got a 50-50. I'm trying to keep them going. They're hemorrhaging. We need something to happen. If a program is running inside of them that maybe God does do stuff to teach. It's like a man doing a balancing act. He doesn't know, even when he goes. Now, the best that they can possibly do usually is to say, God, if it be thy will. But if they're a real loving dad, like most dads are, they're going to petition God and say, God, I just pray, save Junior's life. Save my baby's life. Do they mean it? Yes. Are they putting faith forward? Yes. But what they cannot see is stringing their faith back. Because, see, if the child dies, it still wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will. God wanted, He didn't want what happened to happen to start with, but He'll still step into a real bad circumstance and bring life. But if a program is running, they might not even think of that program right then. But if a program of understanding is running inside of them, like God does bad things to people to teach them lessons, even when their faith is going forward, there's something inside of them that will not reach into the infinity of God and say, this thing is done. I receive it now. I will not have anything else because I know this is who you are. You are the same God always. You do not change. You never change, and you cannot lie. And if it is God's will to heal, it's God's will to heal all the time. And here's the deal. If that other understanding was true, then our prototype, our example, which is Christ, He would have left one person, at least one person, for that argument to be able to be truth. He would have left one person like He found him. The Word continually in different places says He healed them all. To know who you are, that's one way. Like many times the child dies, and that's not all the reasons why, or the prayer doesn't come through, because there's a doctrine running inside of them. It's a program running inside of them that they can't even bring up at that time, that abates them fully being able to go in and clinch it and say, I sit on this thing. Reuben, if you hadn't have believed that it was absolutely His will, I don't know if Delia would have been here. I don't know if you'd have been here. That's in the healing. That's in the healing. In the spiritual part about who you are prior to the why He had to do what He did, boy, you're going to hear a lot of that next week. And you're going to hear a lot of, He won't say this over and over again, but this is the essence. It's kind of what I said last week. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. Well, brother, I like to just humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Listen, you were that. Now you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a play on words. You're kind of getting right. No, listen. I don't go around and just try to just measure everything that I say like exact. But the concept is full inside of me. And it's growing. It's still growing. Last week when we set these examples up here, we said, look, Hebrews 11 is perfect examples of God's work in people's lives. That example of what that one time, whatever happened to them, or two times or three times in David's life, it was, you know, several different times God used him. Samson, you know, Abraham. But their life, the Word says, without us, they are not made perfect. Why? Because they were not yet born again. And when we teach other people to go to an example of somebody that's not yet born again and say, yes, the example is the grace that came on them. That's the kind of grace that came to you at salvation. And that's the kind of grace you'll get a chance to live your whole life out of. Appreciate what they did. That was an example of faith, but that person, their life, it's not an example of faith. You've only got really one perfect example of faith, and that is looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of your salvation.
Otherwise, if you take, well, I'll tell you what, brother, man, I just identify with David. Because God, man, he committed adultery, and David is, I know he did. And don't you think that the blood of Jesus, if you do it, I'm telling you, he'll cleanse you. Not just one time. He'll cleanse you every time. Amen. If you really mean it. Amen. He really will. He really will. And you can pick your head up and go right on with Christ. Just as perfect. But David's not your identification. David fell because he was doing the best he could with a nature that was not yet given to him by God. Now, we of the new have been received a nature that is just like Jesus's. Well, I threw a fit and cussed them all out, walked out on them and told them all where they could go. Oh, you did you? Yes, sir, I did. I relieved a lot of pressure. Felt like Samson when I did it, too. Well, glory be to God. Did you go to the blood? Yes, I did. Can I tell you something? Yeah. Did you know you didn't have to do that? Well, they did it in the old. Them boys had to set out a dispensation in Abraham's bosom waiting for the perfect to come, which was Christ. Christ had to go down there, and they all had to bend their knee and say, I receive you. I receive you. I'll be the first fruits along with you. You'll become my Lord. And then he emptied them out. They all had to get born again. There's not a person. Did you know even little infants, when they're aborted, they're innocent. But God has to transform that old nature into a new nature based on the innocence clause and brings them into heaven. There's no creature in heaven that's not now born again. Not even little babies. They are, in essence, that spirit had to go from death to life. And he did it under an innocence clause, but they don't even show up there under innocence. They all have to be born again. But once you're born again, you are not who you used to be. Hallelujah. Well, I was back over there and they said, let's burn one down. Let's smoke one down. No. Don't have to. She said, how good do I look today? Don't have to. Because I've been born again. Glory be to God. Well, I identify with them old boys and I'll tell you then, well, what about this, preacher man? What about Peter? He had a temper. Yeah, when you read all that about Peter, he wasn't born again either. Now, do born again people sin? Yep. But the argument is this, do they have to? Nope. They don't have to. That's putting a cork on it or taking the cork off. No, sir. And see, once you realize who you are, then that's going to do a world of strength to walking into the worst of situations. Not with arrogance, but somebody over in the corner is talking about, well, we need, this might be God's will for their life. They listen. Jesus put them out of the room. Now, you may be one of my elders, but if you come in and I'm fixing to pray for my granddaughter or grandson and they're in a critical condition and you start all that stuff, I will put you out of the room. And then we'll get lovey-dovey afterwards. If you have to forgive me and I have to, but for that moment in time, you're not going to come in there and talk about that it might be God's will. Because we do understand what he's made of us and where we're headed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We can't be replaced, can we? Well, if I fail, he'll just replace me. Really? You know what? It took you wherever you're at. And I'm not saying it's because of me. There might be other men that are women that are speaking into your life. But you've been being groomed and groomed and groomed and groomed and groomed. It'd be like a prize fighter that got down to his best weight, best fighting ability. He's training hour after hour after hour. And they, you know, he just decides before the fight, I'm not going to fight. You can replace me. And they just go get Joe Blow off the street. That ain't going to work. Every one of you that have been hearing revival, teachings, understanding, going further into worship, you're a valuable commodity. If you understand that, you don't think you are because you see all your misgivings and your mistakes. And sometimes your family's telling you. So you got yourself telling you the devil, and sometimes your family, so a threefold cord is not easily broken. It's just, it's tough. So you think, I'm not Superman. I mean, the devil don't want me. Yeah, he wants you. You are Superwoman or Superman because you've been being groomed for years. Even in your sometimes flesh states, you are very valuable to God. And you're targeted to be misled, for your time to be bought on you, for offenses to come, a lot of different things, a lot of temptations. And you just got to discern, look, this is who He says I am, and I'm going to continue. I'm going to put the blinders on, and I'm not going to look to my right. I'm not going to look to my left. My conversation is going to be of God and in God. Hallelujah. Good plow horse. A good plow horse. Hallelujah. Watch your speech. Watch what you say. Say nice. Well, we don't talk about anybody that shouldn't be talked about. I'm not going to repeat this. So you better listen close the first time. Can I tell you something? Boy, you say, you're going to sow discord in the church. No, sir. But if they'll talk to you about somebody, they got that in them. And while you're getting high thinking, we're just real pals, man. I mean, you know, they defend my honor and they talk bad and I listen to what they talk bad about. They'll talk bad about you sooner or later. Because right now you're stroking them. But rub the kitty the wrong way. And the kitty who once gave you pleasure in talking about somebody else now will go. Oh, hallelujah. We better stop. Now, how many of you would like to give a big offering this morning? We need one. No, we're blessed. We are really blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we had a really wonderful time, as we always do, and all the glory to God. And there was several people that came forward. Some were maybe filled for the first time. Some were just got activated in their tongue. And we're just going to take a moment here just to pause for that. If you're here this morning and you don't speak in tongues, now this service has not been about praying in tongues, but He prompted me, so I'm going to do it. If you don't pray in tongues, you should. Not because He'll love you more, but because it'll help you get over a lot of things that you're going through presently. It's so simple. You've experienced God since you came into this service this morning. The supernatural of God has been working all around you. And that's exactly what happens at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural, once again, just like in salvation, when you were born again, you didn't necessarily see Jesus walk through the wall. You may have. Some people do have a visible experience with Christ, but the majority of people don't. They just accept it. It's the same way with the baptism of the Spirit. You have to say, okay, Jesus, you said that you sent the Holy Ghost and that He would live inside of me. And then He would help me. He would help me. And the way that He helps me is not only just being inside of me, but He helps me to help myself, if you want to say it that way, by lifting up a prayer, a supernatural prayer. Well, that prayer entails praying with other tongues. That prayer prayed by the Holy Spirit allows you at any given moment, day or night, laying in your bed, dark of night, nobody knows. You're laying there and you're thinking about where your life went wrong, and even though you're born again, you're trying to work through a situation. There's only one that can really guide you from here to there and get you past, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so, having said that, I want to offer to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues, or if you do pray in tongues, but it's very difficult. Now, we got a bunch that was filled the other night, and I hope that they're just exercising that all the time. But right now, let's just worship God for just a moment. And let's just lift up a voice of praise and worship and allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of circumvent whoever's heart may be in here, 2, 3, 4, 5. Father, we just worship You. We love You. This is their opportunity and time. This is their Your purpose for their life is to receive. Lord, they've already received eternal life. Now let them receive the Comforter, the One that is going to pray for them the rest of their life. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here this morning as the rest of everybody else is kind of just focusing, maybe just praying in tongues already, or just loving God and just with eyes closed, the hearts are just lifted up. Right now, if you're here this morning, male or female, and you don't pray in tongues, you need to come right now. I invite you to come. Stand. I had to come one time just like this. If you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues, would you like to? You can. It'll take just about 2 or 3 minutes and then it'll all be over but the shouting. Hallelujah. All right. If you don't pray in tongues, come now. Somebody? In about 2 or 3 months from now, when you are filled, you'll come to me and say, I'm going to beat you up, Pastor. And I'm going to say, why? And you can say, because you didn't make me come down, because it feels so good. All right. Let's give him a great big hand because somebody's going to come. Hallelujah. Who are you? It's probably 2 or 3. Oh, come on. You want a standing ovation? It's very simple. Father, we just thank You that You love that person or people so much. And that You're convincing them this is for them. So Lord, whether it's now or just a little bit later, we're thankful because You're going to move them into this. And we bless You. Anybody before we go someplace else? Oh, got one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to happen, bro, right now. Can I get a few of you brothers up here that pray in tongues on a regular basis? Come on. He says, I know he don't mind repeating it. He goes, I've been trying to learn this. I just want it to come out. It's going to come out right now. Hallelujah. And he got baptized in water a few weeks ago.
It's been hard.
It's been hard.
As soon as it happened.
He's going to testify. That's what I like.
As soon as it happened, I did this change. It felt good. And I want to walk this way. I want to walk the way with God. And I want to live it. I want Him in my life. And as soon as it started, a couple of days, I was coming to church every Sunday. And then as soon as it happened, it's like you said, the devil will take your time from you. And he started doing that. I started getting phone calls from my brother-in-law, like, let's go do this. And it's always on the Sunday. And I was like, you know, I got to go to church. He's like, well, that can wait. You know, we can always, there's always another time. So I stopped praying. And next thing I get a text from the pastor, telling me, I want to see you in church Sunday. And here I am again, and I don't want to fall back. I don't want to fall back to my old ways and start saying.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you would just pray for as often as the Holy Spirit brings him to mind? Now, this is perfect sincerity. Perfect. And this is one of the things that I texted him back was, what is happening to you is natural. I mean, it's just normal. That's how Satan works. You go in. You're trying to escape. He's going to do everything to rope you back in. That's just the way it is. This is going to help you. I'm not going to stand here and tell you this is the end of all, you know, of all your trouble, problems and stuff. I'm just going to tell you it's a major help. It's a major help. I've used this in my life along with the Word of God. It's been the two major. It's the rod and staff of my life. It's everything. It's like, you know, praying in tongues and communing with God is that's it. It's everything. And it'll help you. It'll make things easier. It won't take it all away. But, okay, just stand here and just I'm going to explain this a little bit. And then we're going to pray. And then he's going to pray in tongues. One of the things that this crowd's heard me say so many times, they're like, we know, Pastor, but you need to understand. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, that when he baptizes you, that he will give you the utterance, meaning it'll come up from the inside. What he did not say, and this is really important, he did not say that the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues. We, the person, speaks in tongues. And the reason why that's important is this. You actually have to do it. You actually have to take the faith and say, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to just kind of like believe that I can do it and take the step of faith and say, you know, whatever, you know, it's going to happen. If we believe the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks in tongues, then we're kind of waiting on him to initiate it as if we're saying he's going to take me over and then control me and make me do it. And I, you know, if I was up here with 10 people, I'd say the same thing to them. And all these people have heard me say it. If you wait on the Holy Spirit, he won't do that because, first of all, he's not spooky. He doesn't control us. He basically flows with us. And a person can speak, they can speak Creole, they can speak Spanish, they can speak English, all they want. And he's not going to break that language and start speaking in tongues. As long as you're saying one language, you can't say another. You actually have to initiate it yourself, kind of like by moving your lips, moving your tongue, and then believe that the moment, it's like when you got born again, wherever it was, it here or home or whatever, you asked Jesus, like, I need you. I need you. So he came in, and he's on the inside. I mean, you know, you got a new person on the inside. That's the same way the Holy Spirit. The other thing, too, is you don't get something different. You get more of the same. That's what you get. So it's not like you get this strange new feeling. The last thing I'll tell you, the third thing and the last thing is really cool. And I say this because if I did an extended teaching on this, it would be kind of, I'd teach it a little bit more out. But the fruit of it's perfect. Jesus said that if a child came to their parent and said, I'd like something to eat. He used an egg or something, you know. He said that parent would not turn around, pull out from underneath the kitchen sink a serpent or scorpion because the parent loves them. And so he said if we, being where we're at, if we wouldn't do that to a child, how much more, and he actually said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Meaning, like, God's not going to let this get messed up. It's just going to be God, because your heart's sincere. You're real. I mean, I can tell you, everybody in here knows your heart's perfect, sincere. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Everybody's going to pray it. Then I'm going to lay my hands on you and say, receive the Holy Spirit. And then at that moment in time, I'm going to ask you to inhale and exhale. And that there's nothing spiritual about that except relaxing. And then we're all, because everybody here must be filled with the Spirit or else they'd be up here. And we're all going to just quietly begin to be filled or speak in tongues. And then I'm not going to necessarily say, are you doing it right? Because, you know, you're going to do it right. You may get one or two words or you may get one or two syllables. And this sounds really silly, but nevertheless, it carries the point with it. It may sound like Walmart. It may sound like, you know, USMC. You know, I mean, it'll have a distinct kind of sound to it, but it may sound like Goo Goo Gaga or something. It's just the Holy Spirit. It'll be your language. It's supernatural, meaning you don't understand it, but it's praying for you. That language you'll learn as you continue to come here. From the moment that you begin to pray, it's praying for your marriage. It's praying for your kids. It's praying for your buildup in your life. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, I thank you that Jesus said that if I ask for the Holy Spirit, that I would receive nothing else. I ask you right now for the Holy Spirit. I believe that I receive in Jesus' name. Okay, just take a big breath. Relax. And in the name of Jesus,
Oh, there he is. Be filled. Now begin to speak. Korosta barakarestete. Whatever comes. Karestetele bakrestato. Bede berestete. That's it, son. Karesta barokorosto de bereste. That's right. That's right. He's beginning to fill you. Braste baditidi. Just one word, two words. Ibadakrestatala. Bede de kristete. Didiato brastatala. Balakrostola kriste. Doesn't matter what it sounds like. Just pick up your head a little bit. Dora batala bokurestete. There he is, moving your lips. That's it. Just that's it. Just letting the sounds come through there. That's him, son. That's him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. Ooh, yes. He's filling you up. You don't have to make him up. Just let him make him up. Whatever words come forward. Your understanding. Christe de betitie. Speak it out more and more. Kereste te di diesto. Bada bala crostote. Bele bedi bidiate. Good. Good. Hallelujah. You're getting some. Yep. Yep. Yeah. He goes, yeah, yeah. Look at his face. All right. They got just one more minute. We're going to rush out here. In fact, they got to stay because I got to get an offering from them. Okay. But I want you to go out of here thinking this isn't, I don't just have to have Pastor Bront pray for me or be in here. I want you to just believe that when you're showering today, riding down the road, whatever, the moment that you say, I want to do this on the inside, it'll start again. So I'm going to count to three and we're all going to start praying in tongues. And I want you to start whatever you can remember, whatever word you were getting, go right back to that and let him just kind of repeat that word over and over again to you. So one, two, three. Let's start again. That's it. He's starting again. That's right. Hallelujah. That's it. Crestola baraka destete di berestete. Dele bedidi astola crostoto. Good job. Crestete di. Wonderful. Let's give him a great big hand. Hallelujah. Would you guys do the honors, please? Hallelujah. Would you just ask him what he'd have you to give today? And I just appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for ministering to this ministry and your giving. You've just really been blessing so much. And I just thank you so much for it, all of you. Father, I love you. Lord, I didn't do any of this today. None of us did any of it. But we were vessels. And we receive grace. And Lord, I give you all the praise. And I give you all the honor. And I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.